Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. Always honored to have these fine gentlemen in the studio on Thursdays. Commerce, community analysis on local and national business issues. All exciting technology trends and takes. Important news you can use. We're here in the present to give you a little glimpse into the future. On the list today, we'll talk about Apple. We'll get to some juice bars, talk about Kohl's, the American Dream, Red Bull, Wake. The city comes to town Saturday. I think we're going to have a couple athletes in the studio at the end of the show to talk about their entrepreneurial journeys, how they make their living on the water, and the importance of Red Bull and sponsorship in the sports world. But as we do each and every show, two up, one story that I'm seeing, this is from JS Online yesterday. Is there another Bartolotta restaurant coming to downtown Milwaukee? Well, it's one of three possible plans. So there's these two publicly owned museums on Milwaukee's east side. Again, reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A boutique hotel could be coming. An event venue could be coming. Two, Villa Terrace Decorative Arts Museum and the Charles Alice Art Museum. Milwaukee County has contributed roughly $225,000 to Charles Alice and Villa Terrace into their operations annually since 2015. But as most county budgets are, they're a little squeezed as we look into 2025. So the County Board Committee on Parks and Culture is considering proposals at its September 3rd meeting to explore the future of Villa Terrace and the Charles Alice Museum. One plan would keep Villa Terrace as a museum, privately run by the nonprofit group that is currently there. This Friends group wants the county to provide $3 million over 5 years to address all these deferred maintenance issues at this century-old beautiful property. The group also wants $125,000 over 3 years to transition the operations, and it would raise some private funds up to $1.5 million to continue operations as a museum. The group is also willing to discuss the future of Charles Alice Art Museum on the east side as well. So that's kind of the state of the state, proposal number one. Proposal number two involves the Bartolotta Restaurant Group working with Delafield-based HF Hospitality to create a plan for purchasing the property and turning it into a high-end hospitality venue, which they've done with some other venues in the area as well. The third proposal on the table involves Dynamic Events, which is owned and operated by David Caruso. He would use the Villa Terrace as an events venue and the Alice Museum as a possible boutique hotel guest house with a room count to be determined, according to the reporting on JS Online. This firm would buy the properties for a dollar each. The county would provide up to $4 million in a 20-year loan at a 4% interest rate and then work as a private-public partnership to redevelop the properties. So three proposals on the table. The future of the county and the museum world, always kind of up in the air, but it's good to see that the county's evaluating different proposals there. Next story I'm seeing, you should keep CNBC's Make It on your list. You have a side hustle? I think we all do. One of the reasons I love having Steve and Martin in the show, it's because they're true entrepreneurs at heart. Just quick story that I saw on CNBC. In 2017, a woman in Houston named Leanne Pettigrew, she got her first houseplant. She killed it. 5 years later, her and her husband
killed it literally, or yeah, killed it like she plant, like it grew 20 feet.
It did not last.
It didn't sound
five
okay.
Years
like
later.
The good part.
Literally killed it.
Her and her husband were redecorating their home in Houston, and they needed to fill the corners. So she went to Lowe's and bought a couple more houseplants. This hobby blossomed into an obsession. She found a marketplace called Palm Street, started doing live streaming, auctioning off houseplants that they were buying. So from July 2023 to this past year, this woman and her husband brought in $150,000 in total revenue, $12,000 per month doing live streaming and selling houseplants online. Wow. That is entrepreneurial spirit and side hustle. In a beautiful, growing way, right?
It just goes to show you that there are niches for everyone. That is one that hustling and pimping houseplants was not on my bingo card for like side hustles that would make you six figures.
Like reselling? That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, the power of live streaming, the power of unique item.
What's the live stream aspect? Like, is she auctioning them off?
There's a marketplace site called Palm Street that she was using that has the platform available. So she was talking about the plants and talking about the care.
Guess what I'm doing tomorrow selling night them. With You're a bottle of wine.
Done.
Oh, boy.
All right. That's what we do. We highlight entrepreneurs, business leaders, people like Martin and Steve making things happen. A lot of side hustles out there, a lot of ways to create commerce and community. That's what we do on The Upswing. When we come back, Apple. Some changes at Apple in their services business. But how much are we spending monthly on all of those wonderful Apple products? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything, the future of Apple and the iPhones and their services business, something we all use each and every day. Apple made a round of job cuts on Tuesday, eliminating about 100 roles in its digital services group following, quote, a shift in priorities for the critical division. This, according to Bloomberg, the layoffs were said to affect some in engineering roles as well as some in Apple News. But the biggest cuts were made to Apple Books app and the Apple Bookstore team. When you look at the services business at Apple, Martin, I'm going to turn to you first because I love it when Apple's on the list.
How dare you assume that I'm a fanboy, which I am.
Apple services revenue grew 14% this year already to $24.2 billion. And in fact, Apple's on track to make more than $100 billion in 2025 revenue just from its services. When you look at your monthly Apple bill, what are you thinking? And are you getting the value out of it?
I think I am. I mean, I pay $45 a month for my iPhone, which is like their thing where you get the iPhone every year.
At least, yeah.
And then I pay $35 for Apple One, which gets me 2 terabytes of cloud storage, which I absolutely need because I have, 50,000 videos and 100-something thousand photos on my phone. Yep. I use Apple Fitness Plus every morning when me and my wife work out. I don't use news. Apple TV Plus, I use 100% now with the new season of Ted Lasso that's going to be coming out. I'm going to use it even more.
Yeah.
I feel like I get a great value for what I'm consuming and what I'm using, especially when I compare it to some other services that are half the price or similar where I never use them.
And to be able to have your whole ecosystem under that umbrella
is
really helpful.
It's also a trap, but it's convenient.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. The Apple One model, I think it's $37.95 plus tax. I mean, we do the same thing in our house.
I think I'm moving to Apple One. The problem I have is a lot of the services side of Apple are just a little bit littered with too much friction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not seamless like I'm used to with Google.
Sure.
But
yeah,
I want it all to work desperately.
Yeah. And then you got the iTunes match for our whole family's on Apple Music without Apple a doubt. Music. It's pretty
not
amazing.
Spotify?
We're not a Spotify family. Because
with the whole Apple One thing, I thought, what if I moved the family to Apple Music away from Spotify? But I'm so invested in Spotify.
That's tough, especially when you have your playlists. I know. And the algorithm knows everything very well. It's tough. I don't know if there's any apps that you can transition back and forth between the two, you can with photos and other things. Mm-hmm. But if there is, who knows how
$24.99 a month or $24.99 annually is iTunes Match. So it enables, we have 4 people in our family, so it's $2 a month essentially. Mm-hmm. You're able to mix and match the music within the whole family. I mean, I think that's a pretty good investment for access pretty much to every song that's ever been created.
And for me, it's the synced playlists. I'm a huge playlist guy. I am constantly updating my playlists, and so to be able to like make a change on my phone, and then it's the changes there in my HomePod or my MacBook or my iPad, all that stuff is it's super nice and convenient.
Yeah, I want to talk about some changes and some new things coming to Kohl's, but first, guys, especially in this back to school time we're in, when you're looking at how am I going to buy a new backpack? How am I going to buy new supplies for our kids? How am I going to buy new clothes? Where do you start that buying process? Steve?
I always Google the top 10 of that topic from some reputable website to see who is even in the mix, who should be in the mix of my decision process.
Okay.
Always start there.
All right. Martin, what's your buy journey?
I don't have kids. So
okay. All right.
So let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
How much of what you buy for your kids for school, backpacks and supplies and stuff, how much rolls over year to year? Do your kids get a new backpack every year? Is there supplies that, you know, that they get every year or
supplies? Yeah. But like backpacks usually last a couple of years at least.
Yeah.
Two, three,
maybe two, depending on the age. But
yeah, I mean, some of them are pretty fashion.
Don't those last like a lifetime or something?
No.
Yeah. Now it's funny. We used Wirecutter, which is owned by the New York Times, which will give you kind of an independent analysis of products. They had a backpack section on for schools. I went through with my 12-year-old daughter. Hey, let's look at the top five that are rated. Mm-hmm. Let's analyze them based upon all the attributes, yep, the colors, the fashion, but also the price.
Yeah.
And let her pick the one she wanted. Of course, she picked the Patagonia one, which is the most expensive. Yeah, but absolutely. I think it's going to last a long time.
Yeah, it will. And, you know, I think what's happening more as the kids get older, Martin, to your question is, they're coming with the one they want.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier to then go, okay, let's see what else is out. If this is what you want, I can compare sure to this thing, because often they're not in the realm of reality.
How important to kids is the backpack? Like, is that the like yeah the prized possession yeah for going to school?
They have,
yeah. It's an identity?
Each of the kids have at least one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it is fashion and function.
Sure.
But many kids don't even use lockers these days.
Right.
They're going to carry their backpacks oh, yeah, throughout
I never
the
did
day.
Yeah.
And yep, forget the locker, because I want the backpack to show, and it's a part of who I am.
Load that baby
my identity
up with 75 pounds worth of books. And
Fletch has Ninja Turtles.
The Ninja Turtles?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I love it.
Is
it fun when they're younger and you get to get like the really fun ones, like the Princess one or the Ninja Turtles one, or the theme
yeah
backpacks?
Because then they like put it on, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm Donatello or whoever the
or
Ninja
Turtles. It's got
Turtle
poodle ears dangling around on it and a tail. That's fun.
When I was a kid, I had a Spider-Man one that came with a little skateboard. I didn't use a skateboard, but I thought it was cool.
That's
and
awesome.
And the L.L. Bean backpack I have right now, I've had since high school. So.
Hey,
oh,
there
wow
you go.
That's longevity. That's quality.
Yeah.
I love it. Producer Jaslyn weighing in on the future of backpacks. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. This is The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. The future of almost everything, juice bars. Are they back? What is the future of juice bars? What's your appetite for the high-priced juices? A new Baya bar is coming to Milwaukee's East Side. Juices, bowls, toasts, smoothies, that type of thing. You know, for years, guys, grocers have tried these juice bars at their locations, at least locally here. You look at Whole Foods on the East Side, the Metro Market in Shorewood. Juice bars haven't lasted. They're pretty high priced, labor intensive. Mm. But smoothies are, you know, they're that new fast food that are a little higher priced, you know, $8 or $9. It's that healthy fast food alternative.
Is it?
You,
well,
you guys,
that's
are you
what
big
I
juice guys?
Talk
you
about
big smoothie guys?
Yes.
You are?
I yeah, not regularly, probably every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I kind of need to be prompted by an offer or something in my feed to say, all right, you should get a smoothie instead of getting a sub for
how
for
do
lunch.
You feel after you drink it?
I feel
hungry.
I always say there's a little too much sugar in
this. That's what I worry about. That is the main thing I worry about is, are they filled with sugar?
Yes.
Because I don't know. I don't know what's I see it's fruit going there sometimes. Yogurt.
Fruit's got sugar, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fruit, yogurt,
and then stuff.
Added sugars. Yeah. They're not as healthy as
natural sugar
as you think they
yeah
are. Yes.
Yeah. But they're delicious.
They are, yes.
Especially
so
the pizza Jamba Juice.
And Thin Mints.
And hot wings.
So in terms of the standalone juice bar coming into a market, a new franchise, what are your thoughts there?
My kids are totally going to be all over this.
Yeah.
I could take it or leave it, but yeah, the kids will drive us there and we'll get some, yeah. I'm sure.
I mean, you're seeing that type of thing at Starbucks and other providers. Mm-hmm. You know, they're offering more ice drinks, more frozen drinks, and more kind of fruit-forward drinks, yeah, to kind of fill that niche.
Yeah, and they're premium priced.
Yeah. Mm. Without a doubt, $8-$9 for a smoothie.
That's what it costs for a smoothie?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you invested that in a Roth IRA and then just waited like 40, 50 years?
Always thinking about the long-term investments. I love it. So this week, Kohl's Corporation has been trying to make some strategic changes to improve the financial performance of the company. And most recent results have been a little bit mixed. On Wednesday, the company revealed its second quarter earnings call with analysts, made a profit of $66 million despite a sales decrease of 4.2% for the quarter. They're adding more dress shops. They're adding more baby stores. They're adding more Sephora. What does Kohl's and Kohl's Cash mean to you guys?
I love me some Kohl's Cash. Boy, really? you can... That's like dealing in gold bars for me, Kohl's Cash.
I once knew the stat of how much extra people spent with just $10 in Kohl's Cash. The $10 in Kohl's Cash would drive them to the store, and they would spend like $60, yeah, at least, average.
I think it's genius.
Yeah.
And I'm sure,
yeah,
they have it all figured out. Yeah. But there's been many times, though, where I feel like I've robbed them. And I've went in there and bought like $400 worth of stuff, yeah, and I walked out and it was like $1.27.
The large retail loyalty programs, I think Kohl's does a wonderful job with
that.
I think they need to continue to lean into it. Even, yeah, as you're going into more dress shops, more Sephora's, and more baby stores, that's something they should go in on.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, I'm Jeff Sherman, Wall Street Journal, with a big story about the future of the American dream. 12 years ago, when researchers at the Public Religion Research Institute, they asked 2,500 people, is the American dream still holding true? More than half the people said it did. Now, the Wall Street Journal just this week asked the same question, and that response dropped to a third of respondents. Before we get in a little bit more here, Steve, what's that American dream mean to you right now?
You know, it used to be a lot of things that I think are shifting. I mean, I don't know. A new house? New, yeah, house, like owning your house?
The ability to buy your
ability
first...
Ability to buy a house?
A buy home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of a standard
That's
definition.
That's been like the thing, but so many people struggle around that. And some people are just not even doing that anymore.
Yeah. And you kind of think, all right, where does that responsibility lie? You know, what is that on the government? Is it, yeah, on the family structure? Is it on the community? To get to that first house, how do we make that...
More accessible.
More accessible and not truly... a dream for people that can't achieve, mm-hmm, it. What do you think, Martin?
I mean, on the house thing?
On the house thing, yes.
I mean, obviously there's a massive need for starter homes. It's not financially advantageous for developers to build, you know, a one or two bedroom house anymore. Everything's got to be 4, 5, 6 bedrooms and bathrooms, and they got to make a bunch of money on it. And so there's a lot of people that are just priced out of owning a home. And I mean, if you want to create, you know, personal wealth, generational wealth for everybody, you have to have housing that's accessible, mm-hmm, financially for everybody. You can't just have $750,000 houses out there and then, you know, expect everyone to, that's just not in some people's price point, you know. And it's not like it's not like $150,000, $200,000 house is that much more equivalent to a lot of rent that people are paying today. So, you know, you can still get a house for what you pay for rent or sometimes under, but the inventory is just not there.
Yeah. I mean, especially in a political year, the packaging and the positioning around the American dream, should that come from our candidates? Like, should that come from our communities, or should it come from the people in our lives?
I think both.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the American dream is just, it's happiness. And whatever that looks like to you, whether that's having a family, starting your own business, being a puppeteer, a trapeze artist, whatever completes you. And every night when you go to bed with a smile on your face and you wake up with a smile on your face. That's, for me, that's the American dream. And I think that's accessible to everyone who wants it. But I also think there's a lot of people who are in positions no fault of their own, who maybe might not have access to some of those starting points. I think there's a lot of lazy people out there who want to try and game the system and don't really want something as bad as they pretend that they do. And right. So that's sort of my hot take on the American dream.
We're going to let you go on that.
I mean, I could riff for about 25 minutes on the American dream.
It speaks to the importance of education and mentorship and mm-hmm. everyone's lives, no matter how or where you are on the income spectrum.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to see, you know, my grandparents immigrated here, and they had a certain American dream achievement, and then they make it better for the next generation that then makes it better. And ideally, that's, you know, part of that dream system where you're every generation is shortening the curve for the next.
It all comes down to opportunity. Mm-hmm. Opportunity is gonna yield you everything, and we need to give as many people as many opportunities as possible. Without opportunity, you're just treading water, you know?
Right. And that opportunity, it's a collaborative effort between everyone. It's not just the politicians. It's just not mom and dad. It's not just the community. Everyone has to work together to provide those resources.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And we are indeed getting there. So a couple years ago, folks behind the energy drink, kind of the extreme sports world, soccer team ownership, the big brand Red Bull brought this huge event to Milwaukee. Wowed about 50,000 people at Milwaukee's lakefront. This Saturday, Red Bull's coming back with a big wakeboard event. You talk about living your happiness, living your dream, following what you're good at doing. Athletes are entrepreneurs at the heart. We got a couple of Red Bull athletes coming in studio to talk about Red Bull Wake the City is happening Saturday right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. This is the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The future of almost everything, the future of sports, right here in the studio, making its debut in the United States. Saturday, Red Bull's Wake the City brings kind of this first-of-a-kind format to wakeboarding. 36 of the world's best professional riders are going to face off in a big doubles competition this Saturday. Kind of came from the canals of Milan to the shores of Lake Michigan. We have athletes. We have entrepreneurs. We got love in the studio, too. We're going to get to that in a minute. The party's going to rock all afternoon long right at Lakeshore State Park, downtown, adjacent to the Summerfest grounds. You can grab a spot on the shoreline. It's free, powered by Red Bull. Two Red Bull athletes in studio, Gunther Oka, Megan Ethel. Megan, you're from Chicago, right?
I am.
Well, welcome to Milwaukee. We'll take you anyway.
Excited to be here.
All right. So give us the background of how you got into wakeboarding. Is this a full-time gig for you?
Yes, this is a full-time gig for me. Originally just outside of Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
I learned how to wakeboard in Michigan. I feel like that's usually the thing to go over to Michigan for the summer.
Okay.
Get out on the lake there. A Midwest local.
Very good. So in terms of the competition that we'll see this weekend, how does it work? What's the competitive aspect of it? Are you going for prize money? Just kind of walk us through what people can expect to see.
Yeah, so Red Bull Wake the City is happening this weekend, August 31st at Henry Meyer Festival Park. It starts at 12 o'clock. From 12 to 5, the gates are open, and we will be in a wakeboard event, riding doubles with a partner.
Okay.
It's kind of a different twist on a wakeboarding contest, but a really fun one for spectators to watch.
All right. So, Gunther, in terms of your training for the event and just what you do to prepare, walk us through that process.
Yeah, this one's a little bit different because typically when we wakeboard, we're wakeboarding by ourselves, right? Like, you know, water sports, and that way it's kind of an individualized sport. We're behind the boat or we're underneath the cable by ourselves. And now we're incorporating another rider riding simultaneously, like neck and neck with each other, right? Wow. So you're kind of thinking about yourself, but you're also thinking about not running over your partner or, you know, clipping them with the rope and things like that. So it brings out this really fun vibe of like what water sports is all about, which is, you know, being together on the water with friends. And so we're going about this, like, you know, we're training for the event, but we're also kind of open to whatever happens in the moment. We got to just be ready and make the most of it, I guess.
Okay. Very good.
I'm just thinking the temperature of the water. Like, have you tested it out yet?
We dipped a toe in yesterday, and it's a little brisk out there.
Yeah. I did not.
Refreshing. So, like a Red Bull.
Like a Red Bull.
So in terms of the competition itself, is it a scoring system? How do you – I've never watched a wakeboarding event, so when I'm there, how am I going to know who's winning, who's losing, and – what are you going for?
Yeah, we've got a panel of like three judges, so I believe they're going to give us a score out of 100. We get three runs.
Okay.
So you go down and back, that's run one, down and back again, that's two, and then back, down and back is three. They're going to take your best run from those three. So you kind of have three opportunities to show the judges your best line, your best style of riding. They pick from that, and then if your scores, I think it's in, if you're in the top six, you advance to the next round, then the top three to the next round. And the judges will be there handing out your score out of 100.
All right. Very good. Making its debut in the United States right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, Red Bull Wake the City. When we come back, more conversation with two of the big Red Bull athletes who are in town this weekend, Gunther Oka and Megan Ethel. We're going to talk about what their relationship is all about, too, because we like secret. To create love right here on The Upswing. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. Sherman family, we're in the North Shore of Milwaukee, but even at the end of the summer now, we got to get the kids out of the attic, get them away from the Xbox occasionally, get them away from their phones. Mom and Dad can hang out at the bar at the Mineshaft. Get them into the $2 million game room at the Mineshaft. They're going to hang out. They're going to have fun. Mom and Dad will have some pizza, maybe a beer or two, and it's going to be a good family-friendly, fun event. Caller number five at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft and a friendly reminder that today, Thursdays, each and every week, feature buy one, get one free pizza. All right, good thing. Free pizza, free wakeboarding this weekend, this Saturday in Milwaukee. Red Bull's Wake the City event is here. And two of the athletes who are on the wakeboards, but also in the midst of planning a wedding, are with us today, Megan, Gunther. How are you managing the wonderful challenge of coordinating a wedding, coordinating your kind of day-to-day athlete duties, and everything that comes with it?
And is Red Bull sponsoring the wedding?
Ooh.
I've actually gotten that question a lot. But no, they are not.
No, we're going to have the archway with just a Red Bull logo. Yeah. Awesome. The top is going to be insane.
You'll wakeboard through it.
Riding doubles, just like a Wake the City, you know?
Yeah.
Saying our vows on the rope. There you go.
No, it's definitely had its challenges for sure, but we've now been together for over 8 years, and we've navigated all of those little challenges. So now it's really fun. We get to travel the world together and live this really unique life together.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. We get to actually skip the part of planning a, you know, hair pulling wedding. We're going to New Zealand at the end. Nice. Beginning of October, we have our world championships are in Australia.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be heading over to New Zealand after that and getting eloped, two of us, and
that
keeping
works.
It nice and easy. So,
well, congratulations.
Thanks.
That's great. So in terms of the regular competitive events, what do those look like from kind of a prize money standpoint? Is there prize money for each event, or is the prize money come at the end of the year? Just kind of walk us through the economics of the sport from an athlete lens.
So we usually have a prize that we get at the end of the event, usually like a few weeks after it happens. So we get paid throughout the year, and it can range. I mean, just depending on the event, it can range from a couple grand to over like 10 grand. Kind of just depends on the sponsors for the event and who's putting on the prize money. But not a bad gig.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're entrepreneurs and athletes, and this is a full-time gig for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. What about the like product endorsements? Are you all using the same gear, or how do you source that?
We all, like, there's various different brands that come into wakeboarding. So you kind of have like our hard goods, which is the wakeboards that we ride on, the bindings that keep our feet in place. We have soft goods for the wetsuits that we wear, the life jackets, the clothing. Obviously, energy is a big one, so shout out Red Bull there. And then, you know, what's also very popular among this area throughout the Midwest is boating. So we have the endorsements of Megan has her own boat brand, I have my own boat brand. And so that is a huge part of what we do and allows us to get people out on the water and help us train in the backyard.
That's cool.
And there's standards with that technology. Everyone's kind of got to use the same gear to make sure that you're all on the same plane, so to speak.
No, I think it varies a little bit, but at this point, man.
I'm looking for the tips.
Yeah. At this point, though, all the equipment, everything's like gotten so good, and the boats are so unbelievable, like to be in, and so that, you know, it's kind of hard to go wrong when you're picking equipment.
All right, very good, Gunther Oka, Megan Ethel. I appreciate your time. Red Bull's Wake the City is Saturday, a wakeboarding competition. 36 of the best athletes from around the world right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. All the best on the wedding and all the best this weekend, Saturday, at Lakeshore State Park. This is The Upswing. We're presented by Horicon Bank.